This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Care and Feeding, the show where we raise the next generation together. I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I am dad to Noah, who's six, and Ami, who's three. We're in Detroit.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is just about 11, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan, but I'm currently in Hawaii.
Yes. I cannot wait to hear about this. Today on the show, we're going to hear about Liz in Hawaii, obviously, but we're also opening up our mailbag because it turns out a lot of you had a lot of thoughts about grades. We're still getting listener mail about our grades, our bullshit episode from last Monday, so we thought we'd take some time to talk about this again and include you in the convo. Thanks for all your really insightful emails and messages. Then we'll debrief with a round of everyone's favorites, triumphs and fails. So let's get going. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll see you back here to open up our mailbag. All right, we're back. Last Monday, we answered a question from the Slate Parenting Facebook group all about grades. That person was wondering what counts as a good grade, what counts as a bad one, and what the consequences should be for each. And that conversation got a lot of you talking. Before we dive in, though, Jamila, you weren't around last week. What's your take on this topic?
I agree with you guys that grades are bullshit. So LAUSD doesn't do letter grades, at least for fifth grade and under. So I think four, it's one out of four, and like four is meets or exceeds grade level, or I think it's exceeds grade level. Three is at grade level. Two is approaching grade level. And one is not at grade level. And I've enjoyed this way, even though it's kind of weird, because like one of her teachers told me a couple years ago that like, oh, everybody gets, twos at the beginning because you're not supposed to be at grade level yet. And it's uncommon to get, anything above a two or a three. And then the next semester you start getting threes and fours. Naima's done pretty well with this system. I don't think it has a sort of impact on her self-esteem that seeing A's and B's or C's and D's would have. So I'm a little anxious about middle school and the potential for that changing.
Jamila, can I ask what your relationship with grades was? That was something we all kind of touched on too. Like when you, how did grades affect you in school?
I did pretty well in school for, up until high school. I was generally an AB student, like a C. I would get C's in handwriting, and that was always a big deal in my household. I have terrible handwriting. I didn't obsess over having better grades or feel terribly jealous that some people had all A's. I generally felt good about my grades. When I got to high school, I started slacking off. Like, I was just disinterested in school, And so that's when I started getting more C's. And then there was one marking period where I had a few D's. And that was, like, crisis level in my household. But in general, doing well made me feel good and doing poorly made me feel bad, And I think one thing I've observed with Naima, and I don't remember how I felt about this at her age, but there was an exam, like a standardized test where she did really well in reading and writing and not so great in math. And she got very frustrated. And she says, so is the test saying I'm not trying? Because I'm trying my best. And so the test didn't reflect her efforts, It reflected her competency and it made her feel bad. So boo to that.
Yeah, I think the rest of us generally agree that grades can cause more problems than they're worth. But a lot of you had different opinions and different questions about our approaches. So first up, we want to share this voicemail from a listener named Elena.
Hi, Karen Feeding. I am a longtime listener and first time caller, and today's episode about grades being bullshit really resonated with me as someone who has been teeter-tottering on homeschooling my kiddos. I would love to hear some more conversation around this, especially from you, Elizabeth, as a seasoned homeschooler, and the fact that the hosts all have similar values and understandings around education, I would just love to hear a little bit more from y'all. Thanks.
Yeah, so I guess I'll take this, but I mean, Zach and Jamila, definitely on this, if you guys can help, because the question is kind of broad, and I know both of you have been on this journey with me in some sense, but also, like, I think homeschool can be really misunderstood. I think, like any education system, there are real benefits to it, but there are also, of course, lots of potential for homeschooling to go wrong or be used in the wrong way. And it's certainly not a one-size-fits-all question. It's certainly not a one-size-fits-all solution. Mm-hmm. I will say that I think there is a growing interest in homeschool that is a dissatisfaction, like a response to a dissatisfaction with the education system. And you can see, like, the growth is not just in a certain population where it used to be, I think, predominantly, like, white Christian homeschooling was sort of where it was growing. And now we've really seen a growth in studies of, like, the Black population is really embracing homeschool to answer a lot of the history and education things that are arising in the U.S. and just saying, I need to be more in control of what my children are learning. You're seeing a growth across all economic classes, just in people responding, like, how am I going to educate my kids? And I think one of the big kind of misconceptions about this is that homeschooling looks like what we did during COVID. And it is, I would say that is not it. Homeschooling is sort of more about the home in some sense. Like, what do the parents want the school to look like? Which, of course, can be risky, right? Because there's no one telling you in most states what you have to teach. And there's not a ton of oversight in a lot of states, which, of course, can lead to abuses. But I think if you're thinking about homeschooling, the idea is, like, do you have the time? Do you have the resources? Because those are both things you have to have to homeschool, which, of course, shuts the door for many people. And then what do you want it to look like, and how are you going to get there?
Thanks, Elizabeth. We also got this super long, thoughtful email from a listener named Joanne. We're not going to share all of it, but here's an excerpt.
The gist of this episode seems to be that grades are bullshit because they don't tell you who the kid is as a person. Well, of course not. That's not the point of grades. Grades are a metrical unit, like temperature or weight, by which we quantify a student's mastery of the academic skills that schools are entrusted with teaching them. Because student mastery of academic skill is, in fact, very hard to quantify, this is why all teachers also write extensive commentary on their report cards, detailing those skills that they have mastered and those that they need to work on. But, of course, if reading the report card is too upsetting, you wouldn't know that. Also, like, teachers aren't assholes. If the grade is a C because the kid hasn't mastered a skill, that doesn't mean we spend our day telling your kid that they're a C student and will fail at life. If you're doing that at home, that's on you, not on the system. Signed, oh right, that's why I quit teaching.
So Joanne does sound a little upset.
Yeah.
We don't hate teachers. I feel like—
Not at all.
I understand that teachers, this is the system. This is the system. We grade kids to say how they're performing.
And this is why we say down with grades.
Yeah. I mean, I think fundamentally it's like, what is the goal for education? Like, they bring up the point in this letter that, like, the grades say, did you master this skill and how well did you master it? And I guess my question is, why is school about mastering?
Because conceivably you're not going to learn, like, hard science or, you know, the mechanics of literature and writing, you know, at home necessarily. So it's incumbent upon the schools to give us this framework and, like, a cross-section of disciplines.
Part of my problem with grades is just what kids learn in school. You know, like, I think having, obviously everyone needs reading skills, reading comprehension skills, writing skills, you know, to be able to survive in the world in most instances. You need basic math skills. You need to be able to do your taxes, right? But when you get to the upper grades, there are things being taught, like physics and, you know, calculus, that don't necessarily have anything to do with what most of us are going to do with our lives, you know? And so, yeah. like, for somebody to be considered a failing student when they're failing to learn things that are not valuable, you know, or not relevant to what they want to do or what they're going to do or what most people end up doing, I think that's a big part of the problem. You know, I do wish, and I don't know what this looks like, but I wish there was a way of measuring, you know, somebody being able to, and I guess the California system does it to a certain extent, you know, like, are you at grade level for reading versus are you a good reader or are you a bad reader? Mm-hmm.
But also, like, what is grade level? I mean, I think that's my problem, is every kid is on their own trajectory. And this idea that like all seventh graders should read, you know, at this level, I'm just, if your kid is neurodivergent or your child has any number of other things going on, their third grade reading level is going to look different. And that doesn't mean that come getting a, you know, come the time to get a job, that they're any less prepared for particular jobs. And so right. this idea that we're racking and stacking when it's a spectrum, and that doors are opened as a result of that, you know, like, just because your kid can read in first grade and another kid can't read till third grade, let's say we're providing all of the support, that doesn't predict their fifth grade reading or their reading at 21, you know?
Yeah. And standardized tests have been proven to be, you know, they're not culturally literate in a lot of instances. So you're asking kids that live in urban areas questions about a rugby match, you know, and they can't relate to that or make sense of it. And so they don't do as well as other kids do, you know, like, you raise a good point. Like, what is the standard? How do we measure a student having what they need to have versus saying, okay, these kids all should have the same thing at the same time?
Mm-hmm. And if not, you're somehow behind and you're labeled as behind, right? Like, I guess I just think even when we get to tracking, we have this idea that like kids should advance in all of the things at once. You know, like your kid that's an AP Lit should also maybe be doing calculus, when I think like it's completely feasible that they're very gifted in math. And obviously, like you said, there's a baseline that we all need. And that is what schools have to serve, right? Like, we as a society want everyone to be able to read. We need everyone to be able to do some basic math. I think those are wonderful goals. And we need that for society to function.
So how do you think the school, like, what would be a more creative kind of holistic generative model for the schools to measure the basics? Because that's what a lot of parents are worried about. Like, I just want my kid to know the basics, which is another way of the schools maybe saying grade level. Like, grade level could be considered, like, you know, the basics. So, like, how can schools do it? Like, we are asking a lot of these systems to work well enough for all of these families.
Zach, I'm just here to critique the system, not come up with solutions.
No.
I love it.
No, I'm just kidding. I think there are... I mean, I think the problem is...
I'm definitely sending my kids to New Camp University. Yeah. I'm not... Like, I'm compelled by your arguments, definitely.
I mean, I think it requires a complete overhaul of the system. That's the problem, right?
Right.
And that... I don't know what that looks like, but I think in my mind it looks... in some ways, something more like homeschool, where we are moving kids up when they're ready to be moved, like, quote, up, like, to the next thing, not based on age, not, you know, based on anything but kind of where they are. Because to me, that's what we're able to do in homeschool, that my kid that's struggling with reading can be moving up in math and doing harder math things because they can demonstrate that, but we can still be working on kind of basic reading things, that I can be able to say, like, okay, your comprehension when you listen to audiobooks is off the charts, but your actual reading with your eyes is still very difficult. I think in school, so much of that is tied together. And so a kid that is really struggling with the reading with their eyes is not necessarily allowed to advance, and so they hate reading.
I think for traditional schools, it would be a move away from the homeroom model, you know, where the same group of kids stays together all day and learns the same things. You know, you would be placed in a reading class that was the level that you're in, you know, with other students that have similar competencies to you, you know, and that you would do, like, their kids who are just, you know, not, they're struggling with reading and writing and they can be held back, but they may be great at math, you know? Absolutely. And so now they're going to be, they're going to feel disenchanted by the experience of school and feel, you know, embarrassed and let down. And so that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to excel in math again, you know, like, but if they, the kids were traveling to different classes, you know, like there may be a math class that has fourth and fifth and sixth graders in it, you know, because they're learning at the same level. And also just, I think all kids deserve an IEP, an individualized education plan, you know, and those are usually given to students with so-called special needs. But I think if there was a vision for like, okay, here's where this child is, you know, here's what they know. They're really strong at reading. They're really strong at writing. They struggle with math. So we're going to put them in a reading class that's going to challenge them and allow them to keep growing. But we're going to put them in a math class where they can catch up.
Yeah, we're exactly where numbers are smaller and like actual teacher to student ratio is smaller. You know, I also think looking at where these kids are self-motivated and in allowing them to be more self-motivated in those spaces. Because to me, what I want is a society of people that know critical thinking, that know how to go find information, and that know what they love to do, not just for work, but also outside of work. And I am just not sure that the current system does that. I think it teaches some specific things really well. But this goes back to Jamila's point, like, yes, maybe I needed to know some basic physics to like have an understanding, but if I learned to love learning and how to find information, when I read something about physics and was interested in it, and it had been introduced to me in a way that I was interested, you know, a little bit, I could go find the information. I think as adults, that's what a lot of us like kind of lifelong learners do. We go and we find out what else we want to know. And that information sticks so much better than something I was taught in a physics classroom in sixth grade.
Something that's been a great model of this for me is my pole dance class. I take pole dance classes. My hosts know this, but you guys don't know I have a pole in my bedroom, which is like totally false advertising because I've had it for a few years and I am not good. I can't really use it.
We see it. But we see it, y'all. See it. We see it right
but
now.
You,
right behind Jamila's
head. You love it, right?
I love it, you know, and I took a lot of time off and I returned a few months ago. And so it's a little bit different than the class I was taking last time. But what this teacher does, even though I go to a beginner, quote unquote, pole dance class, there are people in my class that are actually quite advanced, you know, and there are people that are at the beginning. And so what the teacher does is there are a few moves that she shows to everybody, like everybody can do the sexy walk. Everybody can do a basic kind of, you know, walk around the pole sort of move. And then she's like, okay, for my babies, you know, here's what I've got. At the school, they teach like up to PhD level, basically. So like you get, once you master certain moves, you become a high schooler or a college student. There are all of us at these different levels in the same class and everybody's getting to learn and everybody's getting individualized attention.
So it's kind of like the belt system in karate in a way?
Yes.
What's your level, Jamila?
I'm preschool. I'm a baby. I'm not even officially at like any of the levels yet. No, yeah, I'm crawling.
But she's so happy. But she's so happy and she wants to go back. That to me is the point.
Yes.
That's great.
I want to say that the people we should be asking this question to are the teachers, because they go to school for this. And then I think, at least if my teacher friends are any indication, they go to school, they learn all these amazing things, they're constantly in continuing education about these, and then they show up to work and the system says they have to do something else.
Power to the teachers for sure. All right, I think we should move on, but we have one more email from a listener named Veronica. Veronica says,
I'm a teacher's daughter and she agrees with the following. Grades are meaningless, testing is meaningless, homework just trains children to think it's acceptable to bring work home. No, I'm salaried, and once I close this laptop, I'm done. It's not like I'm a brain surgeon on call or anything like that. I was an A and B student, but have had no meaningful career path. My career path is like someone took a ball of string and tied it up in knots. There is no way that point A, good grades in school, has any bearing on what I do today. In closing, grades are bullshit.
I am completely anti-homework. I think that students should only do reading at home. Studies have shown that homework does not effectively helped students learn more. A lot of schools and individual teachers have moved away from assigning homework. You know, perhaps it's one thing to let kids take home classroom work to finish it if they didn't, you know, if they weren't able to finish it in class. But other than that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, especially with math, you know, like, we learn math differently than our children did. We learned it differently than our parents did, you know? So it's practically impossible to help your kids with math once they get to a certain grade. You know, if you don't know the way that they're teaching it now, you can show your child how to do something and it's wrong. There have been times where I've shown my daughter how to do something and the teacher's like, well, this is not how it's supposed to be done, you know?
But also that. Why in math are we worried about how they do? Like, why are we getting a bad grade? Because they do it wrong. Like, I'm so mad.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy to me.
I also love Veronica's point about homework training kids to think it's acceptable to bring work home. And there was a time in my life where I did bring work. I mean, I work from home now, but I don't work past a certain time, you know. As somebody who did used to bring work home, I think you're right. You know, like, we shouldn't teach kids that their lives are about labor.
Yeah, I agree. And we love all these comments. Thanks, listeners. We love hearing what you think. You can email us anytime at KarenFeedingPod@slate.com. Or our favorite option, leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. And we're going to put you on the show. We're so excited to hear from you. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back here for Triumphs and Fails in a sec. We're back and moving on to our Triumphs and Fails segment. Elizabeth, are you triumphant or failing
okay.
this week?
I'm triumphant, and I could not have planned this triumph better for this show. I'm triumphant. We are in Hawaii. We are missing a week of school to be in Hawaii. I've talked before about about my children being unhappy at school. Like, they like school, but they're like, generally, I think every week they're like, when can we come back homeschooling?
Wow.
Last week after the show, I knew that Jeff was traveling here for work, and I had been mulling in my head about the kids keep saying how much they miss us all being together, how much they miss having time to read. They feel like their whole day is just like dominated by this stuff, and they are literally like, we're not having enough learning experiences, even though we're at the school that mm-hmm. we love, I think, as much as we could mm-hmm. love a school. So I'm literally sitting there after we recorded the show last week, and I went online and I bought the kids and I tickets to join Jeff in Hawaii. And it is the best decision I have made. So we did a really crazy, in order to fly here from Tokyo, we left Sunday at 9 p.m. in Tokyo and arrived in Hawaii Sunday at 9 a.m. So we had Sundays. Like, it's actually confusing. We like did all this stuff on Sunday and then in Japan and then got on a plane and did all this stuff here. Totally crazy. The kids are so happy. Like, the fight, we haven't had very much fighting here. Literally right now, they are all sitting in around the hotel, like, reading. And when I emailed school to be like, we're pulling them out, we have a trip coming up too where we're pulling them out again. The school was like, yeah, cool. So just like following my gut. I don't know what this means like long term because it feels so good, but this is like a good win for this week. And we're just like being a family. It's really lovely. Something we missed.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What are the chances that you're going to pull your kids out of school this year at this point?
We're going to make it this year.
Okay. We support you either way, Elizabeth.
I know. I think it's really complicated. Yeah. I've talked about this in Japan. Just like, I don't think we can have the things we had in the States, just like socialization and, mm-hmm. You know, like I can't teach them Japanese. Like, there are some major hurdles that I'm not sure mm-hmm. are good. But the school thing is, guys, it's tough for us as a family. It's just really tough. Like, the kids say things like, we miss being together. So I don't know. But this was the right choice for this week. And awesome. We're just back to learning the way we like to learn. So we'll see.
Did you have to bring their schoolwork with them? Like, are they going to have to make up any assignments?
No, we're at an IB school. So the rule is kind of if you miss the week, you miss the work. Henry had one, he's like in the middle of a group project, so he brought his iPad and took one like call with them during class, but that was more, I asked him to be a good, you know, like, how can you be a, because you're missing, like, what do you need to do to make sure your team doesn't fall behind? Yeah. No, I mean, Henry went to his English teacher and asked if she had a book suggestion for this week. And then check that book out from the library. Like, you know, like, I feel like good. But no, we have no
That's great.
Work to make up. I brought Matt, like, we have been working on, we have still some homeschool stuff at home. And so we brought some of that because I do like us to, like, keep doing some work. But, okay, Jamil, are you up? Triumph or fail for you?
I have a triumph. Yay. It's a small Yay! One. A few months ago, they announced that The Wiz was coming to LA, the play, before it makes its way to Broadway. And Naeem and I both love The Wiz. We love the movie with Diana Ross. We love the live version that was on NBC when she was about three. She had a Wiz themed third birthday party.
Aww.
Yeah, I had friends of mine dressed up. I ordered costumes. Like, I used to go really over the top for birthdays in New York. And, you know, we did like an improv like performance of The Wiz. It was really great. And so, and I was in The Wiz when I was in sixth or seventh grade myself. I played the lion. So it's just such a special show to both of us. And so I was really excited and I bought tickets. And then we were supposed to go last Friday night. And so two nights before the show, Naeema brings home a flyer from the after school program saying that they were going to be having their Black History Month show on the same night as the play. And, you know, they had been rehearsing for the show, but for whatever reason, they hadn't told us when the show was going to be. So I had no idea it was coming, you know? And so I asked, like, the play started at 8:00. And I asked, like, okay, well, what time does the Black History Month performance end? They were like 7:30. And so I was kind of like, you know, like, if we run out, you know, we might be 10 minutes late. I mean, plays are pretty long. So, you know, we would get to enjoy most of the show. And Naeem was like, it's fine. We could do both. And I'm like, you're not going to get a chance to eat dinner. You know, like, this is going to be a really long night because the show starts at 8:00. So we'll be there till 10:30. She's like, well, you could just come and bring me some food before. And I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. And so I ended up giving the tickets to a friend of mine so she could take her daughter. And I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, are, like, we just going to not see it? Because the tickets weren't cheap, you know. And I just bit the bullet and bought us tickets for a Sunday matinee. And we went this Sunday and it was so good. Like, I'm just so glad we made it. We had the best time. Wayne Brady was in it.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
He's The Wiz.
He's The Wiz.
Was it amazing? Amazing.
Yeah. He can really
dance. And Naeema hadn't seen it live before.
She hadn't. No.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So we loved it. If anyone's in L.A. or in the L.A. area, I'm not sure how much longer it's going to be here. I think it's another couple weeks. But, like, it's an amazing performance. One thing I really loved, like, was the body diversity of the cast, like the main cast, which is, you know, Dorothy, Scarecrow, Tin Man, and the Lion, as well as the ensemble. You know, I've never seen a musical that had plus size dancers before, you know, male and female. And everybody was just really great. The vocals were good. It was just an amazing show.
Love it. Congrats.
Thank you. Lovely. And I assume the Black History performance went well, too.
Oh, it was so good. Yes, she killed it. If you go to my Instagram page and go back a few posts, because I have been posting more, you can see Naeema as one of the Supremes. I had to, like, just crop out the other kids. God. So you can just see Naeema. And then if you go to Paz from De La Soul, I sent him a clip of the kids performing Me, Myself, and I. And he was like, can I post this on my page? And I was like, sure. And so you can see Naeema and her little buddies dancing to Me, Myself, and I.
Oh my God. That's huge. That's so fun. Triumphs.
So you got to do both. What a big win. Way to go.
Yes. Totally. We got to do both. All right, Zach, what about you? Are you triumphing or failing?
I'm going to take a draw, and this is actually a sequel from last week, so I should warn you again, this story also contains throw up.
Oh, no.
So Noah got this GI thing probably from her one of her classmates last week and was throwing up just for a day. A week later, that's this past Saturday. She was actually out of town this weekend. She had a girls' trip with her friends, which I was really happy for her to have. Until late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, I woke up nauseous and had to run to the bathroom, and I was throwing up and doing other things in the bathroom. You know how terrible it is just to like throw up a lot, you know, just like that terrible, like depleted feeling. So I just like needed to be in bed. Fortunately, the kids were still sleeping. Then Ami woke up at 5 and he started throwing up. And so he and I are both not doing great. Noah seems to be okay when she wakes up in the morning because she, you know, had given us the thing. So she had already gotten it. And again, she is not home. So it's just me throwing up and needing to parent. And I am not exaggerating when I tell you that the following day, the day after I threw up and I was still feeling like I just needed to be in bed and was not doing great. They must have had 12 hours of TV that day. just like straight. Shira wasn't home. Shira didn't get home until Sunday evening, Sunday late afternoon. And so from early Sunday morning to, you know, 5 p.m., they were just wired in, man. And I got up a couple times to get them food. But otherwise, I just had to be laying down. But we made it. Shira eventually made it home, and everyone's starting to feel better now. But so the triumph is that we made it, and the failure is that I guess we made it. The failure was the 12 hours in a row of
no. What else he supposed to do?
Yeah.
What is the alternative? Right? No.
Nothing.
Mila and I refuse your failure.
We refuse it.
All right, then three triumphs this week. We need to have like a sound for this, for when we have three triumphs, like a golden like ringing.
Oh, we should. Zach, did you drink ginger ale?
I didn't. I really could only like drink water. I had no stomach for anything. But ginger ale would have been good. But I didn't have it at the house, so.
You don't have Instacart?
I have never Instacarted in my life.
This is what it's for.
I guess that's right. It didn't even occur to me. That's how distant it is in my brain. Yeah.
That's the only time to use it.
Okay.
Okay, but Jamila, tell us why the ginger ale.
Well, Black people take ginger ale very seriously as medicine. I don't know. I would love to know the history of this. So if anybody knows when ginger ale became sacred Black medicine, please let me know.
Ooh, this is a good podcast episode for something.
Something, right?
This wouldn't be our... I like this.
Yeah, it's just when you're any type of illness, somebody Black is going to be like, well, did you take ginger ale? You know?
Yeah.
And I do have to admit that when I get sick, particularly anything with my stomach, I go, I mean, ginger ale, ginger settles your stomach. You know, it's just
yeah,
that
ginger is,
how much ginger is actually in ginger ale is questionable.
So I also have a something you should have done before, and I'm going to chalk this up to white hippie girl medicine.
Hit it.
Pure grape juice. Like pure grape juice.
What do you mean
not,
pure?
No sugar. Like you want the...
Can you get that? Is that a thing?
Yes. You can buy just grape juice. And you drink it when the first kid starts throwing up. And there's no science to this. The hippie internet.
Are you giving it to them like medicine, or
you
just...
No, you give it to yourself. Screw the children. You give it to yourself. It makes your stomach acidic, and I believe then you don't get the stomach bug.
Oh.
And I have been using this, you guys, and it's not 100% effective, but it goes through our house a bunch without me getting sick.
Witchcraft here.
Now listen, if you give it and then you get sick, you're throwing up pure grape juice and it's gonna stain everything. So
I don't think I've ever seen pure grape juice in my life. I've seen pure cranberry juice and tart cherry juice, but I cannot recall ever seeing...
This is like 100%, you want 100% grape juice.
Does it taste good?
No.
But grapes are naturally sweet.
It's okay. It tastes like a what? Yes. I mean, I just don't find it particularly, like, it's not something you want to drink a whole bunch of. It's not awful.
Okay.
All right, listeners, thanks for bearing with us. As always, we want to hear your parenting stories. Do you have a particularly great triumph or a funny fail? Send them to us and we might share them on the show. You can write to us at our email address, KarenFeedingPod@slate.com, or leave a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We want to know what all of you think, so be sure to reach out to us and keep the conversation going. That's our show. Subscribe, leave us a rating telling us what you're thinking of the show lately. If you want some more parenting advice, go to Karen Feeding the Column on slate.com. This episode of Karen Feeding is produced by the expert Maura Curry, with special thanks to Rosemary Belson. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.